Okay, this is for Chris Thacker. My friend may have a weak thyroid. I suggested iodine, but she's allergic to iodine. My question is this actually an allergic reaction when she consumes anything with iodine, or is it a sign her body is toxic in detoxing when consuming iodine? The second question is there anything she can do to no longer be allergic to iodine? For one, weak thyroid, imagine this. Okay, we've got the thyroid and adrenal glands. So the adrenal glands are going to be high if there's systemic inflammation or chronic stress. That's going to push the thyroid down low. Allergic to iodine, I doubt it, but allergic to shellfish for sure that has iodine in it. So that makes sense. So there's certain proteins in shellfish that are high in iodine, but it's those proteins that she may be allergic to. So there's a couple of things that she can do. One, Lugo's iodine. That one's tolerated by just about everybody because we actually need this substance. So it's going to be hard to be allergic to that. She may have a leaky gut. So that's one of the things that she could look at to heal. But it's really dealing with the physical, chemical, or emotional stress loads that she's under. And those are going to be the contributing factors and causative factors. So seal the gut by getting her out of the stress state. Find the systemic inflammation. So that means full body thermography to look for toxicities, full body stress x-rays, digital x-rays to look for physical stressors, and then even emotional stressors can decrease blood supply to the gut, increasing the propensity for a gut to be a leaky gut, allowing undigested proteins to get into the system, causing an allergic reaction. So this is not the problem, it's a clue to the problem. So we just gotta find the solution. So look at the physical, chemical, and emotional stress, because iodine is one of the most important antiviral, anti-cancer, and also we need it to protect ourselves from the chlorine, bromine, and fluoride that we're exposed to all day long. So she has an underlying leaky gut issue that's going to be contributing to this. So know that it's not a weak thyroid. It has to do with systemic inflammation or chronic stress, and then she'll get better. Thank God she's got a friend like you. This is for Chris Thacker. My left shoulder blade upper back pain has turned into tingling and numbness pain. Depending on how I lie down, sit forward, the pain is worse. The tingling radiates to my left pointer finger and left thumb, which is ideal. That's C6. Laying on my back hurts the least, but situations I can't lay down. Example, plane train. Tingling and pain keeps me up. I've had at least 60 adjustments at the clinic. Anyone have any suggestions, anything else I can do? I'm worried my arm will go numb at some point. Okay, Chris, when you look at this, make sure who's ever given the adjustments have done post x-rays to document structural changes. You have nerve compression at the sixth cervical nerve. Now, a lot of times when somebody's getting adjusted, they're going to get a good massage afterwards. So your shoulders are going to be tight as all get out. Because if that head's forward, those muscles back here are going to tighten up to reposition it. So talk to your chiropractor, see if you can get on a posture pump. Also look at extension exercises. Look at movement, so lateral flexion. Okay, any kind of movement in the neck area will cause those discs to imbibe fluid. Because discs have a horrible blood supply. They get their nutrients through movement, through that imbibition. So movement will generate fluid in those discs, taking the pressure off of the nerves. So extension exercises where you're putting your elbows on a counter, lifting your chin up, and deep breathing, nasal breathing, will help fill up those joints with fluid. And sometimes disc compression can be so great that when you do this, this triggers that pain coming down. And that those two areas, the index finger and thumb, that's specific for a C6 nerve root compression. Also, make sure the chiropractor is doing post x-rays, but not looking at just that area. An alteration in lumbar, loss of curve in the lumbar can throw the whole body forward, making a correction in the cervical spine very, very difficult. See if you can get a hold of a posture pump. We give posture pumps out generally to everyone after 30 adjustments. And so the posture pump forces that curve in elliptoid decompression, and that opens it up. It literally forces it into a curve. And that curve creates a negative pressure on the front of the disc, moving that disc material from the back, where it's compressing the nerve, to the forward. Do not get shoulder massages. Do not relax those muscles. A lot of chiropractors will put electric stim or ultrasound or anything to relax those muscles, and that makes correction near impossible. So make sure you're just getting straight adjustments, restore that curve, look at the thoracic and lumbar component, because if there's an alteration there, your body is going to compensate with the cervical. So we need to look at the post x-rays that the chiropractor's taken, and then that will be the source of the problem. Okay, this is for Pinky Taz. I am 73, and just lately last year, whenever I do things, the next day if I use my arms more, I get this pain, and it hurts quite a bit. What would be a good to stop the pain? What would be good to stop the pain, or do I need to keep using it more so I don't get shape pains anymore? It's like a cramp. I get this, I get it with any other part of my body I use. I'd like to know what I should be taking or taking something for it. Thanks for all you do, Pink. Okay, there's something wild that I've been experimenting around with, and I've got an expert living at our house. It's called DMSO. And topically, it's amazing. The negative of it, the first week or so, you may smell like canned corn or shellfish. I mean, so there's weird, you can eat a little bit of raw cheese or dairy that'll absorb it. But also taking it orally. Now, DMSO comes in a couple of forms. You got to get good grade, and it should be 99.9% pure. But then there's a mixture. They always mix pure DMSO. Usually it's a 70-30 mixture, and it's something super simple. You want to do this twice a day, one in the morning. You take a teaspoon of DMSO, a teaspoon of apple cider vinegar. Now, it's hugely important that apple cider vinegar, because they work synergistically. If you're taking it in the morning, a couple of drops of iodine with about an ounce and a half of water. So it's just you know, ounce and a half to 2 ounces of water. Stir it up, down it. That's the morning. And in the evening, do a teaspoon, and I'm talking just a teaspoon or 5 milliliters of a DMSO, the same amount of apple cider vinegar without the iodine at nighttime. And you may see that your urine is going to turn dark over the first, say, week, 2 weeks. Now, this is a solvent that breaks down plaquing in the arteries. It's a solvent that it brings oxygen, but it also carries water into the cells. And if there's excessive water, it removes it. So this is amazing stuff. I encourage you to look at the Doctor's Handbook for DMSO. I think it's by Archie Scott. And you can get that a free download. So read up on it. And if you can, find a healthcare practitioner that'll work with you. But this stuff is amazing. And I'm talking about diffuse joint pain, because this cleans your arteries like a whistle. It also breaks down plaquing inside of the brain. So, you know, I use it on my Alzheimer's, my Parkinson's, my autistic patients, and people with chronic arterial issues. It's amazing. Just find a practitioner that is familiar with this and read up on it. It's amazing. This is for Jeff Barman. My wife is waiting on knee surgery with physical therapy now 3 days a week for the past few weeks, and then 36 weeks afterwards. Therapy is so painful, she's thinking of canceling surgery. Yeah, the physical therapy isn't going to work. My question is there alternative therapies to any kind for a knee to replace the painful therapy exercises normally done? Or are there treatments to complete and lessen the need for so much repetitive therapy? Absolutely they are. For one thing, the therapist is looking at joint and muscle. And they're going to do strengthening exercises, which is crazy, because we've got to restore the nerve supply to that. There's also going to be foot issues. There's going to be calf issues. Now, the calf actually has a muscle in it called the soleus, and that gets fluid to the knee. So she's going to have a pelvic issue or pelvic trauma. We need to get lumbar x-rays, stress x-rays. You've got to deal with the disc injuries in the low back. We've got to stabilize the pelvis. We've got to stretch the calf, and we have to do ligamentous-based exercises, not physical therapy strength-based exercises, because that joint isn't healthy, and the joints are hydraulic. They need fluid in there. So you need to get the cheapest knee support you can get. And I'm talking just neoprene material, just like wetsuit material, to generate heat in the knee. So you don't want to use ice on the knee. You want to use heat, and that's going to rush blood to the area. And you'll see in our knee exercise videos how it's just, you're going to put a weight on the leg. Typically, it's 10-pound weight to open up those knee joints, but you just want to dangle it. You don't want to lift the knee up to fire off the quadricep to drive that patella into the knee joint. You want to have that knee just dangling so it opens it up, creating a negative pressure while you're opening it up. And I'm talking just dangling. So you're just moving your heel to your feet. You want to do both knees at the same time. So 10-pound weights on either leg. You'll see in our knee and foot health videos how there's a calf stretch. The neoprene support will get on there. And you're going to literally regenerate the cartilage. Do not do strengthening exercises. You've got to restore the nerve supply. There's going to be discs, injuries in the low back that have to be addressed. Get a trochanter support to stabilize the pelvis. Stretch the calf so her gait changes and cause inflammation in that knee joint, and the cartilage will regenerate. That knee joints regenerate fast. This is for Sunny. Having trouble breathing with SVT and heart palpitations. From the last 2 weeks, I started to have a hard time breathing from my mouth. Oximeter levels say my oxygen levels are okay. I've been going to the joint chiropractor for the past 3 years, but they couldn't resolve my breathing issue. I tried other chiropractors. That didn't help either. I got my chest x-ray done front and back, but I'm not sure if that'll help define the issue I'm having. I've been on an organic plant-based diet for years. I'm not sure what the issue is. I have juice once a day. I also have SVTs from a young age. Sometimes my heartbeat goes to 300 BPM. I also get mouth ulcers, mostly on my tongue, twice a month. Let me know if you have any chiropractor suggestions in the Atlanta area. You would recommend any kind of x-ray would suggest so you can figure out the issue. What's temporary natural treatment if I'm having trouble rebreathing? Also, organic eggs, are they okay for the issue that I'm having? Or should there be something I should be avoid eating? Very grateful if you can help me out. Absolutely. Sunny, let's get you healthy. For one, the nerve that supplies the diaphragm comes out of the base of the neck. Justin has a list of x-rays that we need to get, and they're going to be stress x-rays of the neck, stress x-rays of the low back. The insertion of the diaphragm is right at the junction of the rib cage and low back. The joint doesn't use x-rays, and most chiropractors don't use x-rays. So, and I don't know anyone in the Atlanta area, but we have a list of 7 questions. All you got to do is find some chiropractor that says yes to 5 of the 7 questions. So we're lowering the bar. But those questions are huge because do you take an x-ray? Do they take a post x-ray to document structural changes? That's going to be ideal. So that's going to look at the structural problem. Then look at nasal diaphragmatic breathing. Now this is huge because when you breathe in through the nose and out through the mouth, the chest shouldn't be moving. The tummy should. And relearning how to breathe diaphragmatically is the key. Your diet and everything is fine. The eating the eggs is fine. But the way I explain it to people is I put their hands on their tummy, and I say, I'm going to punch you in the stomach. And so what I'll do is, on three, we're going to blow out. 1, 2, 3. Blow out. Push the stomach in. Now breathe in and push your hands out. So the tummy comes out, then blow out, push in, breathe in, tummy comes out, blow out, push in. Now the nasal diaphragmatic breathing bronchodilates, vasodilates, and produces nitric oxide, which literally allows the cells to get more oxygen in. I mean, it's amazing. Nasal diaphragmatic breathing is going to be one of the keys to oxygenate the system. Now, the SVTs, all of this is coming from the upper thoracic issue. So you're going to have a problem with the phrenic nerve, okay, which is the C3, C4, C5. The heart has 2 nerve supplies, so you're going to have problems at the upper cervical, so we need to get a chiropractor skilled in upper cervical assessment and correction, and upper thoracic, because that is huge. That is the nerve supply to the heart, and that is 100% the source and 100% the solution. So we find a corrective chiropractor to do the stress x-rays, and literally, our protocols is 30 adjustments later, we're doing post x-rays. So you got to have an end date, not 2-3 years of therapy. It's got to be, you know, 30 adjustments post-x-ray, 40 adjustments post-x-ray, whatever the chiropractor's protocols are. Ours are pretty aggressive because I'm used to, I mean, we have to get structural changes. If you can find a corrective chiropractor, typically they'll do post-x-rays anywhere between 20 and 40 adjustments in order to document the structural and neurologic changes. You might also want to, the nasal diaphragmatic breathing is something that you have to do throughout the day to help. Also, restoring the cervical curve, look at our cervical health video, that'll take pressure off the phrenic nerve, and you're going to start to notice differences immediately, particularly with the SVCs or SVTs, when they adjust the upper thoracic correctly, directed by the x-ray. Because there's going to be either a right or a left rotation. Typically, it's going to be a right rotation, and there's certain adjustments that you can do in there to take the pressure off almost immediately. This is for Debbie, woman. Hi, can you help me with a question? Why does the body have vaginal discharge? Okay, there's got to be some type of irritant. It could be a viral, bacterial, fungal. There's something going on. So we got to look at the three stressors, physical, chemical, and emotional. When you're looking at the physical, pelvic instability, compromising the nerve supply to the vaginal area, and that's the pelvic plexus. So this is right at the junction of the lumbar and sacrum areas. Hugely important, because if you have compromised nerve supply, it makes the tissue predisposed, it weakens the tissue. So it's predisposed to fungal, yeast, bacterial infections. So look at the nerve supply. So disc injuries on the low back, pelvic instability, those two things. And you're going to need digital stress x-rays, bending films, to see what the structure and what the integrity of the nerve supply is like. That's one. Then look at your gut. If you're having 2 to 3 bowel movements a day, if you're having good sleep patterns, fantastic. Look at L-lysine and vitamin C together. L-lysine is great for certain viral infections. Look at healthy organic diets. Okay, so this means lots of fermented foods to heal the gut. But we're going to identify a physical, chemical, and emotional stressor that's leading to this area. So once you restore the nerve supply, then you heal the gut, you get out of the stress state, you change your sleep patterns, so your immune system can start to handle it. But there is an irritant there. Now, a lot of times women will use like a douche to clean it out. What that does, it'll wipe out some of the normal flora in that tissue. And so that is not good. So look at replacing the normal flora. And there's actually some douches with healthy bacteria that you can do. But first, let's look at the immune system cause that predispose you to that vaginal discharge. LIC and vitamin C, I wouldn't do that. You know, I do, depending on the size of body you have, between 1 to 2,000 milligrams of LIC a day for about, you know, maybe a month. Vitamin C, get it up to bowel tolerance, could be 5,000 to 10,000 milligrams a day, and that's going to help strengthen the immune system. Look at normal, healthy gut flora, that's going to make a difference. Stabilizing the pelvis, that's going to make a difference. And then we pay attention to that vaginal discharge area by replacing the normal flora in that area. And you will get better fast, and I mean fast. You're talking... typically, with that protocol, you're going to notice a difference in the first 2 weeks. This is for Kinnickley on veins. About 8 years ago, I had several veins on my legs that would cause extreme pain, and they would burst open. The problem started after my second childbirth, after they removed the veins. Didn't have a problem until recently. I'm a 37-year-old female. It seems to be on the second day of my menstrual cycle that the pressure gets so bad, the veins burst. Any advice would... to help her relieve the pain and the problem. Okay, the problem is this soleus muscle, and it's inside the calf. So you've got veins on the surface and veins deep. The deep veins are the main ones that bring blood all the way down to the foot. It pumps it back to the heart. So this muscle is super important. So you're going to have a couple of different things. When the guys remove the superficial veins, it just means that the superficial veins were working harder than their design capabilities. It means the deep veins were not working. You're also, when you look at the foot, the big toe is going to be leaning towards the other ones. you're not going to have good dorsiflexion, where you're not going to be able to stretch your calf really well. So there's going to be a lot of different secondary problems. Ultimately, there's going to be some disc injuries in the low back. There's going to be an unstable pelvis in the low back that compromises the nerve supply to the foot and the calf. So the ultimate source of this is going to be the disc injuries, the unstable pelvis, the altered biomechanics of the foot, and the calf not working correctly. So look at our knee and foot health video. We need to find a corrective chiropractor. So use the 7 questions that we have to find a corrective chiropractor. That's going to be hugely important. And then once we address the disc injuries, stabilize the pelvis, there's also a move that it is incredibly painful. So you got to do it very, very delicately. What I'll do when a patient is laying on their back, well, I'll slowly lift the foot well on the inside next to the tibia. That's where you get to the soleus. And you go it very, very slowly. And I'm talking putting like maybe a half a pound of pressure on there just to work those veins going up. And that starts to get the deep veins to work correctly. Also, look at vasodilation. Okay, there's a really good thing utilizing DMSO. And you can get the doctor's handbook for DMSO. You can download it by Archie Scott. It's free. And the DMSO is amazing because it literally, it's a solvent that can start to clean the arteries. So this might be helpful as well. There is an odor associated with it, but read through the whole protocol there. Find a doctor that can work with you because it's really a teaspoon of DMSO and it's got to be a good grade, like 99.9% pure. Typically, it's going to be a 70-30 mix, 70% DMSO, 30% distilled water. And this, you take just 1 teaspoon of that, 1 teaspoon of apple cider vinegar with about 1.5 ounces of water a couple of times a day. And this is going to start to clean it. You're going to notice your urine may be dark, and that's okay. It's just cleaning out the arteries. So you're going to attack it from the arterial side. You're going to attack from the mechanical side. And you're going to be fixing a lot of problems that were secondary that were causing this. And you're going to notice a difference immediately. Usually it's in the first couple of days. Okay, this is for John Ferrari. Questions for the good Dr. B. Sorry if this isn't the correct place to ask, but I see no other place to ask Dr. B. Blah, blah, blah. I'm... might be a tech issue on my part as I'm in trouble having Mac troubles. I have hammer toes situation. They're starting to cause pain in my feet at times. My left foot, the toe next to the pinky toe, is starting to turn right under the middle toe. What can I do, if anything? Can I straighten them out? Maybe my toe is trying to get to the market. And this one went wee, wee, wee all the way home. John, buddy, the hammer toes means that you've got compromised nerve supply to the foot. The nerve supply to the foot is coming from disc injuries in the low back. There's also going to be a secondary problem with the calf muscle, and there's going to be a pelvic instability because your gait's off now too, because the foot should be like a coiled spring. So we got to start off by looking at stress digital x-rays of the low back, and that's going to identify discs. So we got to find a corrective chiropractor, somebody that knows to identify disc injuries, correct disc injuries, and stabilize the pelvis. So once we get that, and you can get the 7 questions to find a corrective chiropractor, then we work on the foot. There's a couple of really good things that you can do. One is to get a golf ball and roll it all around on the bottom of your foot. That's going to break up certain adhesions. Now, right now, if you're doing that with compromised nerve supply to the foot, it's going to hurt and be uncomfortable. So working the intrinsic muscles of the toes are going to be hard. So you can start doing the golf ball. That'll help a little bit. Start walking barefoot on grass or hard sand. So this way, walking barefoot on the grass and hard sand is going to start to work those intrinsic muscles. The golf ball will help break up adhesions. And then you can start like putting a cloth on the ground, putting your heel on the ground, curling your toes and lifting. You won't be able to do that right now, though. That'll probably be in about a month because we got to restore the nerve supply to it. Because other than that, it's kind of like having a tourniquet and then doing an exercise. That doesn't work. So once you get the nerve supply restored, but you can start working on the foot right away. Use heat on the foot, okay? Deep tissue massage to break up those adhesions. All of that's going to restore the mechanics. But no, the ultimate problem is coming from compromised nerve supply to the foot that's flattening out the foot, and then the toes are distorting. So we restore the nerve supply, restore the muscles, look at our knee and foot health video so we can get the calf stretched so that we can get those mechanics working correctly. And you will get better fast. And it's fun too. Take a picture of the foot now and take a picture of the foot in a couple of months, and you'll see the toes, everything start to change.